The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Once while Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret, and the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he saw two boats there at the shore of the lake. The fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little ways from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep water and let your nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked all night long but have caught nothing. Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done this, they caught so many fish that their nets were beginning to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help. And they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For he and all who were with him were amazed at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching people." And when they brought their boats to shore, they left everything and followed him. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you,
Lord Christ. Praise to you, Lord Christ.
Nearly 2 years ago today, I was standing on the dock at Gennesaret, waiting for the Jesus boat to take our group onto the Sea of Galilee. Not for fishing, mind you, but for worship. Although you can fish on the Sea of Galilee and catch delicious Galician tilapia. Now, I'm not a fisherman. But my friend Bernie is. He is an accomplished fly, stream, and ocean fisherman. He has multiple rods, waders, boots, hooks, lures, fingerless gloves. He's prepared for any contingency, either on the banks of a river or in the water. Last year, he invited me to go fishing. I have absolutely no fishing gear. He said, "No problem, just bring what you have." So I brought a pair of old waterproof boots and so followed him to the Solduck River. I had blind faith that even though I was not prepared, it would all work out. But what about spiritual preparedness? Do we need spiritual preparedness? In this morning's gospel, Jesus was standing beside the lake of Gennesaret. And actually, I learned from my guide when I was in the Holy Land that Gennesaret is actually on the Sea of Galilee. I learned also that the Jordan River flows into the northern part of the Sea of Galilee, and a popular analogy says that the Sea of Galilee is like a righteous person because living water flows in and living water flows out. I learned it was 13 miles long by 8 miles wide. It is 680 feet below sea level. That gives it almost a tropical climate. In the days of Jesus, there were 9 townships clustered around its shores, none of them with fewer than 15,000 people. And so this morning, in this morning's gospel, Jesus was calling the first disciples. And in this story, it is unique because it is the only gospel where the miraculous catching of fish precedes the call. Simon had been fishing all night long with no success. Then working from early morning hours, cleaning his nets, most likely he was exhausted and looking forward to going home and getting some rest. So he must have seemed It must have seemed a bit of an imposition when Jesus got into Simon's boat and asked him to put out a little way from the shore. Nevertheless, Simon did what Jesus asked. The focus is on what follows. Jesus tells Simon to put out into the deep water and let down his nets for the catch. Simon obviously believes this will be a futile exercise. He is the professional fisherman after all. And we can almost hear his exasperation in his voice as he responds, "Master, we have worked all night, but have caught nothing." But then he continues, "Yet if you say so, I will let down the nets." And we know what happens next. The nets so full of fish that they begin to break, so full that the boats begin to sink. Seeing what is happening, Simon is overwhelmed with fear and wonder, sensing that he is in the presence of divine power. He responds by falling down on his knees and begging Jesus, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." Jesus responds to Simon saying, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people." Interestingly enough, the Greek word for catching used here is zogron, and it is rarely used in the New Testament, but it means catching alive. Here Jesus calls Simon and his partners to a new vocation of catching people so that they might live a long, life-giving vocation. We can reflect on how God calls ordinary people to discipleship and mission. After all, there is nothing the slightest bit extraordinary about Simon and Peter, fishing partners. They are simple fishermen, and they are simply doing what they do every day. Jesus calls Simon and his partners as they are. Simon is acutely aware of his unworthiness, but Jesus is not put off by this in the slightest. Jesus does not ask Simon to get his act together, to get his resume prepared, and then come back for a final interview. Rather, Jesus encounters him as he is, tells him not to be afraid, and calls him to a new mission of catching people. Throughout Scripture, we see that human sin, failure, and inadequacy are no obstacle to God's call. God calls imperfect people to do God's work. People who are aware of their unworthiness are often doubting and resistant to God's call. But God doesn't wait for them to shape up. God calls them as they are, and then he works on shaping them into faithful servants. How often do we resist Jesus' claim on our lives because what he is calling us to do seems crazy or impractical? How often do we avoid putting out into the deep waters of following and bearing witness to Jesus because we are convinced that we will not see any results? And what might it mean for us to go deep sea fishing with Jesus? To trust and follow him outside our comfort zones, to let go of uncertainties that we have and have our lives radically reoriented. For most of us, this will not mean leaving our current positions behind, our jobs, although we cannot rule out that possibility. We are all called by virtue of our baptism and our baptismal covenant to seek and serve Christ in all persons, loving our neighbor as ourselves, and to participate in God's mission to the world of Jesus Christ. We are all called daily to reorient our priorities, to align with God's priorities, to use those gifts that God has given us in service to others, to share the good news of Christ in word and in deed. Jesus' mission does not wait until we think we are ready. The need for the gospel in this broken world is far too urgent. We are called right now, in spite of our frailties, our failures, our doubts, even in the midst of our ordinary, busy, complicated lives. Jesus' word to Simon Peter is also a word to us. Do not be afraid. This is Jesus' mission, and we trust that he will keep working with us and through us, catching others as he caught us in the deep, wide net of God's mercy and love. We trust finally that the catch is in God's hands and that God's desire is for the nets to be bursting and the boats to be full. It is thus by the Lake of Gennesaret where Jesus calls his first disciples. They were fishermen and they were ordinary people. These disciples and other disciples that he called were also very ordinary people. There was not a wealthy or famous or influential person among them. No special education. They were common people. It is as if Jesus said, "Give me 12 ordinary people and I will change the world." The work of Jesus is not in the hands of those who the world calls great, but in the hands of ordinary people like ourselves. If we wait for a perfect set of circumstances, we may never begin at all. And if we want a miracle, we must take Jesus at his word when he bids us to attempt the impossible. In our annual meeting this past Sunday, our charge to love, seek, and serve was presented in word, film, and breakout groups. I heard we globally, nationally, and locally must continue to be resilient and adaptive to changing needs. During our soon-to-be sabbatical time here, there will be ample opportunity for us to act in love and to seek and to serve. By the way, as we worshiped on the Sea of Galilee back some 2 years ago, I had the overwhelming sense that no matter what happened in this world, that the risen Lord would see us through. Unfortunately, 2 weeks later, we were caught up in the COVID lockdown. And hopefully, as Karen wrote in her reflections, we will be freeing ourselves from that COVID cocoon hopefully soon. Amen.